Every year, roughly 1 billion people change jobs. If you're like most people, you're probably switching jobs roughly every 4 years. What we know is that hundreds of millions report that they're disappointed with the outcome from their switch. Maybe you've ended up in a new role that you've quit quietly. Maybe you've started your next job search just months after arriving in a new job. Or maybe you're like the 2/3 of American workers who report to Gallup that they're disengaged in their current jobs. What if we told you it didn't have to be this way? That you can make more informed choices about the jobs you do and don't take? Our research over the past 15 years that's followed and supported over 1,000 job seekers shows we can help you. It starts with a simple reframe that we stole from the world of product design and the jobs to be done theory. Just like you hire products or services to make progress in your life, you get to hire your next job, just as much as your employer hires you. Now, the question you have to answer is, what's the progress you're actually seeking to make in your career and life as you switch? That's the premise behind our new book, Job Moves: 9 Steps for Making Progress in Your Career. My name is Michael Horn, and along with my co-authors Ethan Bernstein and Bob Mesta, we wrote this book to help you and those around you make progress in your career and life. Here are 5 of the counterintuitive insights from the book. Number 1. Stop focusing on the features of jobs. Instead, start identifying the root causes of why you want to change jobs. When most people think about changing jobs, they tend to focus on the features they want. Things like better hours, less travel, higher pay, a worthier title, faster advancement, greater responsibility, more impact, and more vacation or benefits. I'll be honest, all those things sound pretty nice, and I wouldn't mind them too. But such lists rarely help us make progress in our careers, because while they correlate with job changes, they fail to ground us in the true reasons we're looking for something new. Therefore, they tend to be short-lived in helping us make progress. We need to understand what's actually driving us to make a job move right now. By using the jobs to be done theory around why people change behavior and studying over 1,000 people who have actually switched, we've distilled the forces that actually cause someone to move. What's important is that we didn't just study people who were thinking about changing jobs. That's because bitchin' ain't switchin'. We love to complain and think about what could be better, but we wanted to understand what actually caused the changes. So we looked at who switched. And when we looked at the functional, social, and emotional forces that pushed and pulled them to make a job move, we noticed they clustered into 4 common patterns, which we call quests for progress. So when people change jobs, the patterns that cause them to do so are what we call get out, regain control, regain alignment, and take the next step. Here's a quick summary of each. People experience the get-out quest when they can't see a way to thrive in their current job or their manager makes it feel like a dead end. They want to escape to a place where they can be supported and challenged. You're in regain control when you're feeling overwhelmed or bored in some aspect of your life. You want to find an employer that gives you a say in how you allocate your time and do your work. Regain alignment is when your current employer does not fully value your experience, knowledge, or credentials. So you want to find an environment and a role in which you will be respected, acknowledged, and re-engaged by making full use of your skills. In other words, what you do. Take the next step is when you have reached a career or life milestone, and you want an exciting place to move forward and take on more responsibility. Number 2. Climbing the career ladder isn't the same as making progress in your career. Instead, when you're switching jobs, you should try to figure out what you actually want to do in your next job. That's what will lead to true progress. So how do you know what quest you're on and what you actually want to do, not be? The most straightforward way we've found is to understand how you want your next job to motivate or energize you each day, and how you want it to make use of your capabilities. In the book, we help you understand whether you're looking to build or reset along those 2 dimensions, which then helps you figure out which quest you're on right now. Here are some brief examples. One individual longed for a reset from a role at a large company where, in her view, overachievers went to feel bad about themselves. She wanted to reset how her job energized her. In contrast, an individual at a tech company was energized by her team. She wanted her next job to build on that feeling of community spirit. How your job makes use of your capabilities, your expertise, experience, and skills, that's the other question. One individual who had worked in the global health arena, she found herself as the chief of staff to the executive director of a research institute. She loved the organization's mission, but she quickly realized that the role wasn't aligned with her skill set. She wasn't respected for her capabilities and wasn't challenged to further grow them. So she found a new role within the same organization so she could reset how work made use of her capabilities. When another individual was thinking of leaving the military, a phone call telling her that she was up for a prestigious promotion persuaded her to stay. That's because the new role would allow her to build on her current capabilities, something she desired. Paying attention to whether you want to build or reset how your next job energizes you and makes use of your capabilities is critical to getting good advice and making a good next step. Number three, when you ask someone what they want to do next, people typically think they should start with one answer. But the reality is that job seekers should first build 3 to 5 prototypes for what they could do next. Let me explain why. In the world of product development, after learning about what kinds of progress customers want to make in their lives, successful designers build prototypes to test their early ideas. They experiment with several rough mock-ups that they can change quickly. Career choices benefit from experimenting as well. And if you try to skip to the end by picking one option off a list of job postings, which is what most people want to do, you're likely either to get overwhelmed by the variety of possibilities or to end up overly constrained by the first options you consider. Look, we get it. You probably want to get to the answer of what's next and quickly. But trust us, that's the hard way to do this. One of the counterintuitive points we make again and again in the book is that there is no perfect or dream job along every dimension. A good job move isn't about a dream job, it's about making smart trade-offs. And if you think there's a perfect job, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment later, when real-world options don't precisely line up with your expectations and, crucially, you don't know how to make trade-offs so you can make the progress you really want to make. Crafting multiple prototypes is more productive, both in the short term and the long run. It helps uncover the interdependencies and trade-offs inherent in your quest. Having 3 to 5 prototypes will help because, just as in new product development, the contrasts between them will create meaning on what is critical and what you're willing to give up. And it plays to our strengths as human beings. We're not always great at identifying exactly what we want to do in life, but the human brain is actually quite good at ruling out certain options when it sees them alongside others. Now, to really build out your prototypes, do what product developers do. Talk to people. In this case, talk to people in jobs like the ones you've mocked up. Now, to be clear, this is not your standard informational interview. Many informational interviews meander around the topic of how someone came to their current role, and they only vaguely touch on what it's like in practice. They tend to focus on how the interviewer can get a similar job and maybe even at the same company, even if that's not the intent. That's not how you want to do this. We want you to be hyper-focused on what people do on a daily and weekly basis in their role and how those activities pertain to what energizes you and the capabilities you most want to use in your next job. That's how you'll start to figure out what is a good move and what isn't. Now, let me turn it over to my co-author, Ethan, to share 2 more insights.
Thank you, Michael. Insight number 4. Your resume isn't going to effectively tell your career story for you, and it therefore isn't going to convince anyone what you should do next. You need to do that with a little help from Pixar. After you've honed in on what quest you're on and gone through the prototyping process to figure out what you want to do next, In an ideal world, you would simply go to the job market and find a no-hassle match with the prototype you've tested. Opportunities would just flow to you, given the clarity you have around what you want to do. But, like other matchmaking endeavors, finding your next job is never that easy. Part of the reason you have done so much work to get to this point is what organizations think you, and others want, isn't typically the same as what you actually want. As a result, they have trouble attracting the right people and developing them effectively. In the book, we write about some changes employers should make. But for now, accept that you are living in an imperfect world where you will have to translate your prototype into a career narrative that managers and organizations can understand. Learning how to tell that career narrative to the world is critical. Conventionally, people might have referred to this as an elevator pitch, but most people see an elevator pitch as a chance to sell yourself to others. We're not trying to make you a salesperson, yet. We want you to be a storyteller first. We want you to tell the story between the lines of your resume, not just within them. We want you to share the story spine, not just the highlights. And the good news is that you don't have to be a born storyteller to craft a good story spine. You can take your cues from one of the best storytellers in the world, Pixar. In 2011, Emma Coates, a storyboard artist at Pixar, tweeted 22 guidelines to make anyone a better storyteller. The part that has received the most sustained attention is her fourth point about creating a story spine to provide narrative structure. Given that the human brain is wired to learn and retain information through stories, turning your quest for progress into a story is an effective way to get noticed and be understood. The story spine will help you create and tell this story well. And that's what we teach you to do in Job Moves. We help you follow a Mad Libs-like template to craft your career story and nail it so employers can understand where you've been and perhaps more importantly, be compelled about where you're going and why. Finally, number five. Although our mental image of job searching these days is often someone sitting alone at a desk and submitting their resume to as many online job postings as possible, it turns out that successful job switching is a social process. Yes, at every turn, it's social. Trying to figure out what quest you're on? Turning to a trusted friend, mentor, manager, or colleague to understand the last time you switched jobs can help. Looking to understand what drives your energies and what capabilities you want to continue to develop? A mentor can help you spot the trends and clues in your past jobs that you might miss. Building out your prototypes? You'll benefit from others extending their networks to you for everything from informational interviews to learning about new opportunities and ultimately landing a job after you've shared your Pixar career story. After all, despite all the activity on online job boards, most roles are still filled through personal connections. Wanting to help others in your life make progress in their careers? As Derek Thompson, a journalist for The Atlantic, once wrote, "With 160 million American workers across thousands of occupations in hundreds of industries, saying anything that is of use to all of them is practically impossible." He added that saying, quote, "just do these three things I did," end quote, is rarely helpful. After all, as he wrote, autobiography is not advice. Given how poorly most people understand themselves, it's barely even autobiography. But here's the thing. If we recognized that a good job move is a social process to help individuals make progress they want to make while also being valuable to an organization, then we would build a common language around job moves that would include vocabulary for why a person usually moves, what quest they are on as they do so, how to generate options together to help them make progress, and how they can tell their story in a way that others can listen and help. That's why we wrote a social book with chapters for job movers, mentors, and even organizational leaders. Because even though very few people feel comfortable talking to others about why they might or might not move jobs, it's the best way to make progress. Here's an analogy. Consumers today expect a customized user experience each time they buy a product, a digital storefront that is tailored to them and their purchasing patterns. How does an app know how to do that? From data that was shared over time about a consumer's buying behavior. Because we've gotten so used to customized user experiences, we're expecting customized employee experience as well. But the only way that can happen is if we share enough data on ourselves, our pushes and pulls, our energy drivers and drains, our capabilities, our quests, our prototypes, our story spines, etc., for that to be possible. Maybe not all at once, but one step at a time. And that's the ultimate key. Help people think progress, not perfection, as you pay it forward and help others make job moves. And bear that in mind as you work with others to more successfully chart your own career as well. Thanks so much for listening today. If you already have the book and want to access supplementary materials and our quest assessment, please go to jobmoves.com. All three of us really hope you use the book to make progress in your own career and life.